Amen. Are you happy to be here tonight? I'm really blessed to be here. Wow. We thank God for a great opportunity to get together again in this beautiful church, wonderful, amazing congregation with a great, great pastor and lady pastor. I believe God has blessed you guys here in Memphis. Amen. You know, you just think about what it takes, you know, to have a church. I mean, once upon a time, there was nobody here, not even you. There was only him and his household, you know. And I remember that it was very funny in those days. One of his kids asked him, you know, are you still a pastor? I mean, are you still a reverend? Because he had sort of come from another church where there were people to a place where there were no people, but it's still called church, you know. But he's proof of the fact that when God, all that God needs to find is a faithful man. You know, that's all God needs. God does not work with a lot. He just needs to find a small piece that is good. And he will turn that piece into a miracle. Hallelujah. All of you are miracles. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know. That's how I know that God has you on his mind, because he drew you here. The Bible says no one can come to him except he draws him. So you may think you chose to come here, but God actually drew you to this place. You know, whatever this church means to you is an attraction that God has created. And God has brought you near so he can bless you and be kind to you. And so in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead, you're only going to see the goodness of God. That is what you're here for. Hallelujah. And God is going to bless you indeed. Amen. Lift up your right hand to the Lord and let's share a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful that you loved us enough to draw us this close to you. And we thank you, Father, for the purpose of drawing us this close to you. I know, Lord, that you have a plan for every member of this church here in Memphis. Thank you for the great grace that is upon this church. Thank you for the miracles that are in store for this church. Thank you for another new beginning. And thank you, Lord, for the new things you're going to do this year. We thank you for the new additions to the church and the new dimensions of ministry you're going to open unto this church. We know that we will never be the same, O God, in this year. And we are grateful to you for what you have in store. We ask that tonight and tomorrow night you will be a blessing to us. We pray, O God, that you will speak to our hearts and challenge us and guide us into all truth. May the Holy Spirit be here to bless us and to establish your word in the name of Jesus. We are grateful to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You may be seated, please. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, wow. I feel so blessed.
Oh.
I feel very refreshed. And I believe we're going to have a good time by the grace of God.
Amen.
Yeah, Spencer. Wow. Was Devonia the one taking the photos? Wow. It's a blessing. Amen. Okay. Right. So what am I going to share with you?
A blessing.
The word of God. Amen. That's what I'm going to share with you. You know, this is a new year, and, you know, proton is a Greek word that means the first in order, in rank, in importance, you know, that sort of thing. So when we're having a proton convention, usually we're not only referring to the first in time, as in this is the first one that occurred, but we are also referring to the first in order, the first in rank, the first in importance. Do you understand? So that's what makes this convention different from any other convention we will have as the year advances. Do you understand? Because this is the convention that sort of puts your foot on the right path. This is the convention that gives you the direction the year is going to go. Do you understand? This is the convention that names your year. This is the convention that defines how life is going to go for you and for this church as we launch out into a new year. Hallelujah. So it's a very important meeting we're having. It may not look like that, but with the Lord, very important things can look very simple. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For example, when the Lord invites you to see a baby in a manger, you wouldn't know that that baby is actually the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, many of us have missed many great opportunities because they presented in mangers. They didn't look impressive and were not powerful. And because of that, you didn't see that actually God was right there in that manger. But I see you not missing any great opportunity this year in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So our proton convention is a very important convention. And this year as a church, we have a theme. Every year we have a theme. We have a theme, you know. And when you have a theme, all that you're doing is not that other things are not important, but what you're doing is you're zeroing in on something and you're saying, I'm going to work on this year. Do you see what I'm saying? As directed by the Lord and as led by the Lord, our father and founder, the pastor of this church, has given us a theme, something to work on. Do you understand? And that theme is, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. Everybody say with me, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Tell your neighbor, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. It is a great thing indeed to serve the Lord. And as we go into a new year, it is important that we start the year on the right foot, following the right thing. And there is no better thing you can do with your life this year than to start off thinking and believing that it is a great thing to serve the Lord. That the greatest thing you can do for yourself this year is to serve the Lord like you've never served Him before. Hallelujah. Amen. The best thing you can do for your life this year is to apply your life to serving the Lord like you've never done before. Take a decision this year, I'm going to serve the Lord like I've never done before. Hallelujah. See, there are many ways and many levels at which we can relate with the Lord. Do you see? There are many levels at which we can relate with the Lord. There are people who have heard about the Lord and, you know, that's it. They don't care about Him. In fact, before those people, there are those who don't even believe He exists. Do you know anybody who doesn't believe in God's existence? Yeah, there are people like that. There are people who believe that if they can't feel it, then he doesn't exist. Anything they can't feel does not exist. There are some people who don't believe that there is heaven. They don't believe that there is hell. Do you think a baby in the womb believes in life after delivery?
It's a question.
They probably don't believe it. And if they don't believe in life after delivery, what would be their reason? Because they can't see it. Probably one of their reasons is that they don't know anybody who was delivered and who came back. What do you think?
It's a real thing.
How about if they said they don't believe in motherhood? They may actually say that they don't believe in the concept of a mother. Why? Because they can't see her? Because they can't feel her? Do you understand? But they wouldn't know that actually their whole existence is enveloped in the mother. That, I mean, you are so in the mother that you cannot see her. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So there are some people who are not, unfortunately, they are not, I think it's a shortfall in intelligence. They are not smart enough to acknowledge God. Yeah. No, I mean, because just take the example I gave you. A baby that is in the womb of a mother says she doesn't believe in the concept of motherhood. She doesn't believe in the existence of a mother. Why? Because she's never seen a mother. She's never seen a mother before. So how can you say there's a mother? We can't feel her. We can't touch her. There's no. How do you know there's a mother? But you know that it is because the baby is not intelligent. It's not smart. Has not seen enough, you know, and says that there is no life after delivery. There's no life after delivery because they don't know anybody who has been born and has come back into the womb to come and testify that there is life after delivery.
What a work.
So there's no life after delivery. But you and I know that real life actually begins after delivery. Yeah? That the real life, the longer life, in fact, the purpose of the pregnancy is actually for after delivery. You have 9 months here and so many more years outside there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you meet someone who doesn't believe in God, the person does have a real problem. You see, you're walking in a lot of darkness when you don't believe in God. When everything around us points to him. Do you see? So there is that level of relating with God. Then there is another level. There are people who have heard about him and they know he exists, but they stop right there. Because they are also afraid of committing. Because they know that when they commit, it will have implications. Do you see what I'm saying? When they commit, it will have implications, so they do not want to have any such implications, so they don't want to commit to him. Then there are those who commit to him and worship him and stop there. I'm sure you have a lot of such people in your church. People who come to church, they love God and everything, but everything stops right there. They admire God, but just from a distance. But there are some people who take it one step further. Those who know him, they believe in him, they worship him, and they also serve him. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, it's like the iPhone. The iPhone is a very nice thing. Actually, it's your pastor who convinced me. I didn't used to believe in an iPhone.
Oh, it's the best.
You see. And every time I would call him, if the phone was, you know, got disconnected or something, he would get back on the call and say, it's because you don't have an iPhone. You know, so, oh, it's because it's not an iPhone. If it was an iPhone, the call. Meanwhile, the call may have been dropped on his end. But you know your pastor, he's kind of loud, so. But you see, there are people like I used to be who don't even believe in iPhones at all. Like Reverend Nee. I hope after reading the humility book and fasting for 3 weeks, I hope that he will now surrender and believe in iPhones. Because I told him before, his pride. They just can't accept that something can be so simple and yet so functional. They feel that if it is functional, it must be complex. You know, so that's Reverend Nee. So there are those who don't like iPhones at all. They don't believe in it. Then there are those who believe in it and admire it, but it just stays there. Do you understand? There are some people who believe in the iPhone. They believe in the Apple company. They believe in the iPad. They believe in everything Apple. But that's where it stays. But there are some people who don't only believe in these things, but they work there. Do you see what I'm saying? And that is a different level altogether. Do you understand? Yeah. And those who work there are close to the source of all of it. They have a certain understanding. They have a deeper appreciation of it. In fact, there was a time when one of my church members used to work for Apple. And I remember when I found out he worked for Apple, I asked him, so have you met Steve Jobs? You know, because I saw him as a very special person. Because he works in this company that makes this special product. And I felt that, wow, you must be very blessed to be this close to the person. Do you see? And so I asked, do you see him? And then he said, oh, well, it's a bit difficult to see sometimes. And it was just about the time when he wasn't well. So he wasn't there a whole lot. But my church member used to, you know him. Hallelujah. Now, what am I saying? I'm just saying that the highest level at which you can relate with God. Hello? Okay. The highest level at which anyone can relate with God is at the level of serving Him. Do you understand? That is different from hearing about Him. It's different from admiring Him from afar, is different from singing songs of worship. When you worship the Lord, you are saying, I admire you. But admiring him is not the same as serving him. Do you see what I'm saying? And guess, out of all the people who admire Apple for what they do and so on, the only ones that get a salary out of Apple are the ones who work there. Do you realize that? That it doesn't matter how much you believe in the company. It doesn't matter how much you love their products. It doesn't matter. Like, he was actually one of their spokesmen. He was so full of admiration for the iPhone. Was talking to me about it and convincing me. But he never got a dime out of them. Because he does not work there.
Hey, Apple evangelist.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And in the Lord, there is a difference between those who serve him and those who don't. Isn't it? I'm sure you know that verse, isn't it? Malachi chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Where is that verse? Chapter 3, not Genesis chapter 1. Reverend Nee. Okay. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says there's a difference. You know, and it takes discernment to know it. There is a difference between somebody who serves God and somebody who does not serve God. A person who knows about God, a person who loves to hear his name, a person who enjoys songs about God, a person who enjoys even coming to his presence is different from the one, a person who knows or does all these things and also serves him and works for him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah? So it's not enough that you know God. It's not enough that you even love him. It's not enough that you come to church. It's not enough that you love songs about God. It's not enough that you make the sign of the cross a certain number of times every day. You know, some people make the sign of the cross, you know, on their food. You know, they make the sign of the cross if they have, you know, let's say a Big Mac meal or something. They make a sign of the cross on the burger and then another sign on the fries. Then another sign of the cross on the Coke. Super size, they make a bigger cross. Because a supersized meal must go with a supersized cross. Hallelujah. If you do not take your relationship with God to the level of serving him, you really haven't begun to experience the true blessings that come from a relationship with him. Hallelujah. Yeah. The real blessing that comes from a relationship with God, you will not know it until you begin to have a life of serving God. Hallelujah. And he says there is a difference. Clearly, there is a difference between those who serve the Lord and those who don't. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between him that serveth him, O God, and him that serveth him not. Hallelujah. God says there is as much difference between a righteous person and a wicked person as there is between one who serves him and one who doesn't. Hallelujah. It's like night and day. Your experience in the Lord, your experience in the church will begin to change when you start to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. When you begin to work for the Lord, when you become one of the Lord's employees, when you become one of the people who work for the Lord. Like I said, Apple has a lot of admirers, but not everyone works for them. And it is those who work for them out of those who admire them, those who work for them are the ones who taste the real blessings that Apple has to offer. Hallelujah. Amen. I see you beginning to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. See, this year, this is our Proton Convention. We are defining what kind of a year we're going to have.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And we're saying that this year, no more sitting on the fence. No. No more just coming to church to warm the pews. No way.
No way.
It belongs to another era. A time when you would belong to the church and not do anything in church. That season is past. I said that season is past.
Amen.
We are now in a new era and in a new place. And in that place, God is going to make a difference between those who serve Him and those who do not serve Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are some things that start out looking like there's no difference. Like when people have babies. Have you seen when people have a new baby? You know, sometimes baby boys look like baby girls. Have you seen some of these baby boys with a lot of hair? Yeah. They look like girls. But there's a difference. Yeah. It's only a matter of time. You will know that there was always a difference. From the day they were born, there was always a difference. Sometimes, you know, their voices even sound alike. I remember when we were growing up, boys and girls in the house, and we all sounded alike. So alike, my parents couldn't tell the difference. So sometimes my dad will come into the house, and he would hear some movement in the back there, and he would ask, "Who is there?" Then we would answer, "It's me." Then the next question is, "Who are you?" Because he couldn't tell the difference. The voices were the same. All of us were talking like that. The boys and the girls.
It's me. It's me.
But then there comes a day when the boy sounds like he got a cold. And he never recovered from it. It's like he got a sore throat. And the voice changed. And he never recovered from the sore throat. Because there's a difference. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You see the boys and the girls, all of them just moving around wearing flat-chested t-shirts. But there's a big difference. It's only a matter of time before you see that the chests are beginning to change. What are they? Mosquito bites? What a shock. Are you getting what I'm saying? So in the same way, it may seem to you, you see, there's a point when you start serving the Lord, there's a point at which it looks like there is no real difference between you and another person who doesn't serve the Lord. And that the absence of that difference, that initial absence of the absence of an obvious difference, do you understand, makes people sometimes complain. And it makes people say, in vain have I served the Lord. It makes people ask the question, what is the point? Do you understand? Because sometimes the difference is there. It's just that, you know, it's not obvious. You have to look real close to see the difference. Or you have to look in places where you're not welcome to see the difference. So you just have to wait. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
If anybody told you that there is no difference between someone who gives his time, goes for choir practice, you know, someone who goes for choir practice, well, I was hoping they'll put something on it since nothing could. So I left it there for 15 minutes and I couldn't see anything. So I thought, in order not to be rude, I will kick it so you know it's in my way. You move it. So that worked. Praise the Lord. I'm saying that if you think there is no difference between somebody, you know, we all come to church on Sunday. But when we come here, there are two groups of people. There are those who come to enjoy what has been made, and there are those who come to make what the others came to enjoy. Do you understand? Now, if you think that those two groups are the same, you are joking. They are not the same. They are not the same. One group is going to be rewarded for coming to the same place to make what others came to enjoy. It's true, because when you go to a restaurant, you see, you are there and you spend a certain amount of time in the restaurant. Ask the people who work there. They are also there. But there's one group of people who are going to get something that the other group who has also been there will not get. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. It's called salary. And you see, sometimes when the real blessing that God has for you for doing something for him is delayed, because most people don't earn a salary, or most people are not paid a salary on the day they earned it. Is it not true? Is there anyone who went to work today? You worked today?
Yeah.
Did you work a full 8-hour day?
Sure.
Did they give you anything when you were leaving? They gave you nothing. You worked today too? You did overtime. Did they give you anything? You left with nothing. Yeah. You see, that is how it looks sometimes. So did I come to your workplace today? I didn't. Now, if I had been there just to visit him and to see him, both of us would have been there to that workplace. And we would come off tonight. I didn't get anything from there tonight. And you also didn't get anything. Do you think there is no difference between him and I? It's only a matter of time. Are you getting it? It's only a matter of time. The Bible says there is a time for everything. There is a season for everything. When it's not its season, it just won't come forth. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. There is a big difference between you who went to that place today for 8 hours and me who didn't come there at all. The end of the month will reveal it. The end of the month, you will know that there is a difference between somebody who goes to spend 8 hours in this place and someone who doesn't. But for now, we look the same. I can even laugh at him. Because I was sleeping in the house all day.
I dropped 2 hours.
You get it? Being treated to nice meals. And he was driving 2 hours to get to the place, work there, and come back. And tonight I'm asking him, so after working all day, what did you get? And he says he has nothing. And I didn't go there. I also have nothing. So I ask, what is the point? What is the point? But you know, it's my ignorance that's making me ask, what is the point? It is my ignorance that's telling me that there is no difference between him and I. In fact, my ignorance makes me say to him that he wasted his time. And she tells me, and she, sit down please. She tells me she worked overtime. And I'm just thinking, that's crazy. Totally crazy. Why do you have to go to that place and work overtime? I mean, it's silly enough to work the time, but to go overtime, you're bonkers. But that's only because that day, the season, do you see, has not come yet. That's why we look the same. That's why we look. Sometimes you see people who come to church going through the same things as people who don't go to church. You see, and it makes you wonder, is it worth anything? Because, I mean, what is the point? I've been to church, and I seem to have a more miserable life than those who didn't come to church. Because if he's been working 8 hours, he's probably more tired than I am. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? And sometimes church people have that experience. Sometimes church people, I tell you, they go through some really difficult patches in life. Sometimes shepherds in the church. Sometimes pastors' wives. Sometimes pastors' kids. They go through all kinds of things that makes the world think and wonder. Was it even worth it? But let me tell you something. Don't ever make that mistake. Do you think it was worth it? Do you think it was worth it? Do you think it was a good thing that he went to that place for 8 hours today? Even though he came back with nothing? Are you sure you came back with nothing? They didn't give you anything as you were leaving the place. You bought gas and you went to the place. Hey! They didn't say thank you to you. As you were leaving, they didn't even say thank you. But do you still think it was worth it? Would you advise him to go back there tomorrow? Are you guys sure about what you're saying? Do you think he should go back to that place tomorrow? What about the overtime lady? She should find out if she can have more overtime. I tell you, these people don't love you. Yeah. Because most people are not paid their rewards on the day they ended. There is a day to end the blessing, and there's a day to reap the blessing. Yeah? Yeah. So when God is the one we are working for, and God says there's a difference. Said there is a difference. Even the fact that he's talking about it means some people are confused. It means some people think there is no difference. Some people are probably thinking that there is no difference between a person who serves the Lord and a person who doesn't serve him. And God is saying, make no mistake. There is a difference between someone who comes to church and just worships and goes back home, doesn't want any trouble, doesn't want to stay in church for too long, you know, doesn't want to do all these things, choir practice, shepherds meetings, post exams, and all these complex things that the pastor keeps bringing up every now and then, you know, and they don't want to get involved with any of these kinds of things. They just want to come to church peacefully and just go back peacefully. God said there's a difference between such a person and another person who has taken on all that trouble. Another person who is enduring. Another person who struggles and is trying and is putting out so much to make this place even worth coming to. And time will tell that difference. There's a time for that difference to show. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One day you will find out that your greatest blessing is really that you serve the Lord. Yes. One day you will find out that your greatest blessing is that you serve the Lord. You remember the story of the wise man and the foolish man who both built houses? The Bible says the wise man built a house. I think it's in Matthew chapter 7 or so. It says the wise man built a house, and he built the house on a rock. Then it said a foolish man also built a house, and he built the house on sand. Do you remember that story? You know it, isn't it? Yeah. Now, to somebody, they both built houses. Do you see? One person will be thinking, well, they just both built houses. And that's all that matters. But there was a difference between those two houses, which was not obvious. Do you understand? Just looking at them from the outside, they looked like houses. Both of them looked like houses. It looked like the wise man had done very well, and the foolish man had also done very well. Both of them had built houses. But there came a day when the difference between the houses was actually revealed. That all along, those two houses were not the same. Do you understand? All along, those two houses were not the same. And if it had not rained, the Bible says the rains descended and the floods came. Where's that verse? Bring that verse. The rains descended and the floods came. All right? The rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Do you see? Then there's another one. There's another one. What is it? Verse what? 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. So there was a difference all this time. Do you understand? There was a difference all this time. But the difference was not revealed until they were subjected to the same experience. Now, I want you to notice how a wise man goes through the same thing as a foolish man. That's why the difference between people is not in the experiences. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. If you judge these people, if you start concluding that, look, both of them have built houses, and both of them are experiencing the rain and the winds and the floods and so on. And so, what is the point? You'll be asking your question prematurely. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you say, look, if the rains are going to fall on my house just like your house, and the floods will come after my house just like your house, and the winds are going to blow at my house just like your house, then what is the point? What is the point of that so-called difference between us? So if I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm in the church, and I'm going to lose my job just like when I wasn't in the church. If I'm going to have marital difficulties just like when I wasn't in the church. If I'm going to have problems just like my friends who do not come to church, then what is the point going to church? You are judging prematurely. Your judgment is not correct because it's too early. It's coming too early. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
There is a difference. There is a difference. God says there is a difference between people who serve him and people who do not serve him. And if God said the difference exists, we better believe it. Let's believe it. I said, let's believe it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to encourage you this year. You need to place your priorities right. You need to set your priorities right. This is a year where you need to put first things first. This is a year that you can't afford to sit on the fence and act like you don't see what is going on. This is a year to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. I know you may have so many needs and have so many problems and so many difficulties. I'm sure there are some of us who have given the Lord a to-do list for the year. Is it true?
Yeah.
Anybody here like that who has given God a list of things he must do for him or her this year? Raise up your hand. I have one too. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Yeah. Some of them have deadlines, isn't it? Yeah. Some people have told the Lord, you know, if you don't move by June, I'm going to move. Yeah. If you don't move on my behalf by June, I'm going to move on my own behalf. That's right. If you don't help me, God, I'm going to help myself. Hallelujah. I am telling you that this is a year where you need to give yourself to God. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And to give yourself to his service. And what a blessing it's going to be for you. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Let me give you one more reason why you must serve the Lord, or why it's a great thing to serve the Lord. And then we can close. Hallelujah. This second reason is that serving the Lord with joy results in the abundance of all things.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Serving the Lord with joy results in the abundance of all things. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 47. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 47. We found Deuteronomy chapter 20. It says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to encourage you, especially those of you who are already involved with serving the Lord, that there is one element that you need to bring to everything you are doing for the Lord. And that is the element of doing it with joy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That God is not just looking for people to do stuff for him, but God takes particular notice of people who work for him with joy. Do you understand? People who do things for him with a good attitude. There are some of us who serve God, but with a very bad attitude. I mean, you sing in the choir, okay, but you quarreled with everybody in the choir. So much so that sometimes when you don't come for choir practice, they are actually rejoicing in their heart. You see them lifting their hands to the Lord and say, how great is our God. Lord, you are good and your mercies endure forever. And you're not sure what they're celebrating. You think it's the Lord, but it is actually your absence. Hey. They come to choir practice and it's such a relief that you are not there. Because you make everything so difficult when you're around. Yeah. You will do it, but you complain. Yeah. There are people who complain about everything. They'll do it, but they'll complain. There are many husbands who give wives money, but they'll complain. I mean, they'll write a whole book of lamentations. And then they'll give $100. Yeah. There are wives who complain. They'll give their husband food. They'll give their husband whatever they want. You know, because you mix the service, I can't even say what they want. But after a lot of complaining, complaining in the night. You're complaining. I mean, it's not even day yet. You're complaining. And you have the same attitude. You have the same attitude when it comes to serving the Lord. You do stuff for him, but only after you have complained. And sometimes you murmur and you talk about it the way you talk after you leave church. Yeah? We're trying to set the tone for the year.
Amen.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. You will come to church all right, but you go home after church and complain. Complain about how long the sermon was. Complain about what the pastor said. Complain about the example he gave. Complain about where he stood to give that example. He came to stand right here. You know? And then he was talking about people who complain. What did the pastor's wife tell him? Everyone is going to think it's me. So you find people in the church serving the Lord. You are serving, but you're complaining. Sometimes you see those who look after people's kids. You are in the same church, all right, and you are teaching the children, but you're complaining. You can't stand the childishness of the children. You can't stand it. You know, one day I got so upset with one of my kids and I asked him, "What? Why did you do this? Are you a child?"
Yes, I am.
He was just a little boy and I just screamed at him. I said, "Why do you do this? Are you a child?" And he looks at me and he's confused. Because up until then he thought he was one. But for me to ask him means maybe there's some new definition, a change in status that he wasn't aware of. Yeah. You see, sometimes we cannot even serve the Lord with a little patience, just to be patient with another person's child. I mean, we have all the patience for our own child. If our own child did the same things, it wouldn't be a problem. But the problem is when it's another person's child. We start to say that they are not well brought up. They are not. I mean, you take the opportunity to insult the parents. You know, you find a nice way of insulting the parents by saying, "This child, it must be the parents." It must be the parents. Yeah. So you see that we are serving the Lord, but is not with gladness. But the Bible says the trigger, what makes the serving the Lord beneficial, is how you do it. Serving the Lord with joy. Serving the Lord with joy. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. See, when you get to a restaurant, you see there are people, all these people who are waiting on us and so on. You know, not all waiters attract the same tips. And often the difference in the tips depend on how you did serve the person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you're going to serve the Lord, serve Him with joy. Serving God is supposed to be done with joy. See, let me show you a verse. Psalm 100. Look at Psalm 100. Psalms number 100. Let's start from verse 1. Psalm 100 and verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Can you see that? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Number 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Isn't it? Then come before his presence with what? Singing. Hallelujah. So you can see here that we are given three instructions, three things to do in relation to the Lord. And all three of them, we are being shown that you are not just supposed to do something. He says, if you're going to make noise before the Lord, make it a joyful noise. Can you see that? Yeah. Then he says, if you're going to serve the Lord, serving the Lord goes with gladness. Do you understand? Then he says, coming into his presence must go with singing. So those who come to church who don't join in the singing, you're making a big mistake. Hallelujah. When you come to church, but you don't join in the singing, you come to his presence, but no singing. Do you understand? Now, things are supposed to go with some things. Now, when you serve the Lord with gladness, it's like someone who is eating his salad, but no dressing. Now, you just imagine when you go to a table and they lay the table, you see there are different things on the table, and this is supposed to go with that, and that is supposed to go with that. That is supposed to go with that. Now, if you take your salad and instead of putting dressing on it, you sprinkle some rice on it, you're starting to make a mistake. You pour coffee onto your salad. Or you put ice cream. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And somebody at the table will stop you and say, no. This is supposed to go with that. And this is supposed to go with that. Now, in the same way, just the way things are designed to go with other things, serving the Lord is supposed to go with gladness. Yeah, it's supposed to go with gladness. Yeah, if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to do something for the Lord. It's supposed to go with gladness. If you can't find gladness, don't serve the Lord. Have you not ever had to hold back something, not because it was not good, but because you didn't have the compliment to go with it? Isn't it? Sometimes even our clothes, we have the top, but the bottom is not working. So we don't wear it. It doesn't mean this is bad. This is good, but we don't have what it goes with. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's still in the closet. I mean, you're better off keeping it in the closet than wearing it and looking like a caricature because you matched your orange blouse with a yellow pair of pants. Do you see what I'm saying? And the two don't go together and the whole thing looks funny. That is how it is when you're serving the Lord without gladness. It's like you have to do it anyway. So you're just doing it. But you look funny serving the Lord without gladness. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to hold back. If you cannot afford to be glad about it, don't do it. Because there is no reward for serving God without gladness. Hallelujah. Yes, there is no reward for serving God without gladness. Let me show you another verse. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. He says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Can you see that? If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So the good of the land is not for everyone. It's not for everyone. But it's for people who are willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. You would have thought that if someone would obey, it means he's willing. But there are people who obey, but will not with a willing heart. I mean, haven't you done it before? Yeah, you obey, but not with a willing heart. That's it. Sometimes even you want to speed, but the police officer just makes you just slow down. You can see you are boiling in your heart. You see, you are obeying, but not with a willing heart. And the proof is when the policeman turns right, you just floor it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So obeying, you know, must be preceded by willingness. And God can tell the difference. God can tell the difference between people who are obeying for some reason and others who are obeying willingly. Willingly. Yeah, willingly. So you are doing it, but it's not from your heart. You're not happy to do it. From the time you get in till the time you go out, you are moaning, you are complaining, you are murmuring under your breath, you are saying things, you're looking at the time, are we through with this? When are we going to finish? Say, one more song. One more song? I mean, why do we have to go over the last verse? What is the reason? Whatever the song says, we've said it. Do we have to say it again? You're not willing. You're not willing, but you're obeying. I mean, I just want you to leave this place tonight convinced that it is perfectly possible to have those two things. Do you understand? That obeying does not imply that you're willing. And God is looking for people who have the two. Do you understand? And he says, if you're willing and you are obedient, you in particular will eat the good that comes from what you're doing. Hallelujah. You will eat the good that comes from what you're doing. You will eat it. So sometimes the reason why people have not eaten the good, they have not tasted the good that was promised, is because they missed the second part. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah? Sometimes things don't taste right because you didn't eat it with what it's supposed to go with. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, they say, this is supposed to go with that. Then when you take this, you eat it by itself. So you start spitting it out because it doesn't taste right. No, it wasn't meant to be eaten by itself. You were supposed to take a little bit of it and dip it in some of that. Do you understand? So you take this and you dip it in that. You take your obedience and dip it in willingness. Then you start to say, do you have some more? Yeah. But you see somebody who just has, the person just has obedience. And they taste it and then they frown as they're chewing it. Yeah. Because you've turned the whole thing into a military camp. It's like we are serving God out of fear. You see the thing. The whole thing is out of compulsion. There is no joy and there is no happiness in doing it. Hallelujah. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9 and verse 7. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Have you found 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7? The Bible says, every man, 2 Corinthians, not Chronicles, Corinthians. Why, are you obeying without willingness? So when I say Corinthians, you give me Chronicles. And you say it's close. I should take it. I should just take it as it is. When I say change, you say I'm too fussy. Hallelujah. Have you found 2 Corinthians? Chapter 9 and verse 7. Every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Do you understand that? Now, this is not because God doesn't want more, but God wants to save you from giving him something that is not from your heart. So he said, every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Then he specifies not grudgingly, or of necessity. Don't do it out of necessity. They say I should do it. I have to do it. If I don't do it, it's going to bring a problem. If I don't do it, you know the pastor. If I don't do it, I'll never hear the end of it. Yeah, you know, pastor. If I don't do it, the phone calls. Yeah. Some people even... Look, do you know that some people even come to church just to avoid being called for not coming? Yeah. Yeah. Just to avoid being called for not coming. You know, I don't want anybody in my house at a church. Yeah. Sometimes you have people, somebody living with someone they don't want the pastor to know about. So, to keep the pastor out of their house, they just go where the pastor needs them to be. Yeah. You need me to be in the service, I'll be there. Just don't come here. Don't come here. Yeah. Hello. Hello, Stacy. I heard that you... I hope there's no one called Stacy here. Say, hello, Stacy. I heard you're not well. I'm coming over. I'm well, Pastor. By his stripes, I'm healed. Jesus healed me. I'm healed. For you to come here? No way. I'm healed. Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, she's still coughing. Oh, Pastor, I'm healed. You don't sound very well. It's just a cough. Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you tonight? That God, he says, don't do it grudgingly or of necessity, because God loves people who give cheerfully. Do you understand? God loves people. I mean, what it means is God is fond of people who give cheerfully. See, but I thought God loves everybody. Well, that's true. God loves everybody, but he's particularly fond of people who give cheerfully. Give their time, give their talents, give their money, give their efforts, their contribution, their presence, whatever they have to give, they give it with gladness. Do you understand? So if you're going to serve the Lord, you need to serve him with gladness. You need to serve him with gladness. Hallelujah. Amen. Make a determination this year, I'm going to serve God with gladness. I'm going to serve God. I will serve God, and I'm going to do it with gladness. I'm going to do it with, I will come before his presence with singing. It says, make a joyful noise. You think about it. It says, noise. It's just unwanted sound. But God says, if your unwanted sound has joy in it, I'll take it. He says, I'll take noise from you if it's joyful. Yeah. That means you may not even play so well. You may not even play so well. But you know, if you have a good attitude, I'll take that. I'll take an imperfect work if you have a good attitude. Yeah. You may not be the best singer in the church. You see, sometimes we think the best singer, you know, we like good singing, but you don't really have to be the best singer. God is saying that if your noise is joyful, I'll take it. Yeah. Irene, your pastor says you make joyful noise in the choir. God says he will take noise from you. Wow. That he will take noise from you? He said, yes. If you are joyful about it, I'll take it. I'll take it. Wow. So it seems your attitude is more important, isn't it? It looks like your attitude is more important than even what you're offering. I mean, how many of you would take noise? Most of us don't want noise. Yeah, but God says, I can deal with it. You bring, make me some noise. If you are joyful about it, I'll take it from you. I'll take it from you. Anytime a sound, anytime they laugh at you when you are singing.
Don't worry, brother. If you are joyful about it, God will take it from you.
Amen.
Yeah. Human beings may not accept it, but God says, I like it. Yeah, it's nice, but I like it. Says, I love this attitude. I love the heart behind that noise. Yeah. I love the heart behind that noise. Hallelujah. I believe God is bringing us into a new place this year. Amen. God is bringing you into a new place. And God is bringing us to a place of serving Him. This year we're going to serve the Lord with all our hearts, with everything we have. We're going to serve Him with gladness. And He says, out of it will come an abundance of all things. You just keep doing it. Hallelujah. Out of it will come an abundance of all things. He said, you may think there's no difference, but I tell you there's a difference. You may not see anything in your hand today for serving Him. But I tell you, come the end of the month, you'll be smiling. At the end of the month, you'll have a smile that I will not have. Because of where you have been that I didn't go to. And what you did there that I didn't do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It may look like you are serving God for nothing. You may not see the reward right now. But just keep serving. All of you said to Him, go back there tomorrow. Even though He came today with nothing, but you recommend strongly, go back there tomorrow and go again the next day. Because you know one thing, that all the goings there is not going to be in vain. Are you getting what I'm saying? One day He'll be giving a piece of paper that will reflect every hour He has spent there. You'll be surprised. Every overtime, every effort, you know, you have a little slip like that. That reflects. You'll be surprised that not even a minute was disregarded. Every time you spent there, somebody was watching. Somebody was taking note. And your appropriate reward is being given to you. Right there on the slip. And you can see it. You can see it. That they didn't miss any of it. You spent 42 hours there, and right there on the slip it says 42. You cannot even believe that they saw it. Every time, every moment you spent there has been accounted for on that thing. I tell you, God is watching us. God is counting. God is watching. God is counting. And your day is going to come soon when you receive that which you have labored for. Hallelujah. I see it happening to you. I said, I see it happening to you. In the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet and let's pray tonight. Just bow your heads, everybody. Just bow your heads. You know, some of us need to repent tonight just before we go. Just some of us need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I murmured and I complained. Sometimes we complain about the other people that God gave us to work with. It's not so much that you have something against God, but it is that you have something against the people that God has given you to work with. Other people that are doing the same thing as you, and because of them you can't seem to serve the Lord with gladness. But I want you to pray tonight and say, Lord, please help me. Just say, Lord, help me. This is my year. This is the year that I want to serve you with gladness. Gladness, gladness. This is a year that I want to give myself and give my time, give my gifts, give my talents. But I want to do it not like I did it last year, but I want to do it this time with gladness. Want to do it this time with gladness. Jesus. Makamolomo sataria la babarama shataria la babam. Bikolobobo seteria la babarama shandaria la baba. Bikolomo seteria la mamama la baba shandaria la baba. Mikoloma lama sataria la baba. Everybody just pray tonight and say, Lord, I want to serve you because I realize that it will never go unnoticed. That there is a difference. There is a difference. There is a difference. There is a difference. It may not be obvious. I may not see it. But it is there. It is there. And where it matters, it will show. It will come forth. It will show. Oh, yes, Lord. Makamolo moshatari ala baba. Makamolo moshatari ala baba. Oh yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh yes. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Sing it. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord. Take my hands,
Lord, and my feet.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use anything, Lord. You can use me. Oh, if you can use anything, Lord,
you can use me.
Take my hands.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now just place your hand on your chest and I want you to just say this prayer after me. Say, Lord, I offer myself to you. Say, Lord, if you can use anything, I offer myself to you. And tell him, Lord, this offering this year is different. Say, this offering of myself is from a willing heart. It's with gladness. It's with all my heart. I'm offering myself to you that you will use me. I want to serve you. I want to walk with you, Lord. At that very high level. I want my relationship with you to go from one who is just waiting to receive something from you to one who is looking for opportunities to serve you. This is what I am made for.
This is what I exist for.
And I offer myself
for my purpose.
This is why you saved me.
This is why you saved
me. The Bible says we are his workmanship.
Created in Christ Jesus
unto good works which God has before ordained. That we should walk in them. I know you have plans for my life.
I know you have
things you want to do with my life.
I know there are people you
want to
reach through me.
I know there are places you want me to go to.
There are lives you want to touch through me.
I will not hold back.
This year,
2015 is my year of coming out of my shell, of coming out of my protection,
of
stepping out of my comfort zone,
and
stepping out there where you want me,
doing what you want me to do,
and doing it with joy and gladness.
This is my promise to you.
So help me, God.
So help me, God.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give him thanks, everybody. Just begin to give him thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, while every eye is still closed, this service will not be complete if I don't give you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. An opportunity for your sins to be forgiven. Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, someone invited me here. I don't belong to this church. Or maybe you do come to church here every Sunday or every so often, but you know in your heart that Jesus is not the Lord of your life. You know in your heart that your sins are not forgiven, and you are not sure that if you die today, you will go to heaven. But God wants you to be sure. It will take just a simple prayer, and you can leave this place being sure that if you were to die today, heaven will be your unquestionable destination. I want to help you if you're here like that. So while every eye is closed, I want you to raise up your right hand if you're here like that, and I'll pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? While every eye is closed, I just want you raise up your right hand, and I'll see you and I'll pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? You're saying, Pastor, pray with me, pray with me, pray with me, because I want to be sure that when I die, I'll go to heaven. I want Jesus to wash me with his blood. I want to be saved and be a true Christian. Is there anybody here like that? Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart.
I believe with my heart.
That you are Lord.
That you are Lord.
And I confess with my mouth.
And I confess with my mouth.
God raised you from the dead.
God raised you from the dead.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Forgive my sins, Lord. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a clap offering, everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say to that person, this year I'm serving the Lord. And I'm doing it with joy. Tell the person, serving the Lord goes with gladness. Just like your salad goes with dressing and not soup or coffee or ice cream or milk or rice. Hallelujah. Tell the person, this year I want you to join me as I serve the Lord with gladness, with a glad heart. Tell that person, I promise you one thing. You will see a smile on my face when I'm ushering, when I'm singing, when I'm cleaning, when I'm arranging, when I'm tending the kids, when I'm cleaning the bathroom. One thing you are guaranteed to see is a smile on my face, because I'm going to do it with joy. Amen. Hallelujah. How many are really going to take this seriously? Hallelujah. I want to see you serving the Lord with joy, with gladness. What a blessing it will be. And you mark it somewhere. Because it's not, I'm not the one who said it will lead to the abundance of all things. God is the one who said that. That if you serve me with joy,
It will cause you to come into an abundance of all things. Hallelujah. There are some things you can never give to yourself. Only God has to give you some things. You know, you've tried to give to yourself. Some have tried to give themselves a peaceful home. In fact, the more peaceful you try to make it, the more turbulent the whole thing. Whole thing is going up in flames. Because you're trying to do a God job. Something that God does, you are trying to do. But God says, if you serve me, I'll give it to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God will give it to you. God will give it to you. Tell your neighbor, God will give it to you. God will give that job to you. God will give you good health. God will bless you. God will bless your home. Oh, God will bless your home. I tell you, God will bless your home as you serve him with gladness. Say amen.